not right.
I have not seen The Matrix.
Call yourself an American.
I'm a suburban American.
Okay. All right, well, whatever. You don't want to be culturally literate. That's your own bushel of basket.
All right, I'll rinse it.
It's 39 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of March in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day live from the,
as it should be,
plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. Thank you for coming by, making this part of your listening day, for your radio presence and your patronage. We are endlessly appreciative. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. See, if we were like the John and Jeff show, that would have totally been the topic set up right there. Right as the microphone gets turned on, we do the faux, like the fake halfway through a cup. What? You've never seen The Matrix? I can't believe that.
You must have been cleaning a toilet with a toothbrush. Is that one of their greatest bits?
Totally.
That's the only thing I remember about the John and Jeff show, and it's been on for like 20 years.
I cannot believe that you have not seen The Matrix, Tim Riley. It is unconscionable to me. Here is our phone number on the third shift.
It was missing every time I went to the video store.
All right. 503-733-2970 is the phone number. If you would like to email today with your comments, your clarifications, your confessions, your 2 cents, your what have you. By God, it's rick@rickemerson.com. You email and you email proudly. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so it is Tuesday. Here's what's coming up today. Now we have... Here's the half of the story I can tell you. I can tell you that Matt the Law Lindland, and I believe Randy Couture from Sportsfight, I think they're going to be in studio next week. I think I can say. Well, I've said it. Sorry if I wasn't supposed to. So they're going to be in the studio next week. Sportsfight 15. Sportsfight 15 Tribute, I think is what it's called. Wasn't last time it was Sportsfight. What was the last one? It was like Sportsfight 9? They must be cranking those things out. Like
I didn't
one
see
every,
that video either.
Every 30 days. Sportsfight 15 is going to be at the Rose Gardens coming up Saturday, April 9th. So anyway, we got Matt the Law Lindland, who's going to be in studio next week. Now, I have an additional. I can't say what it is, though. And I'm not trying to give you guarantees, not trying to be coy, not trying to make you all frustrated. Well, I'm just saying we're waiting on the official word. But we do have sort of a second half of this sport fight announcement that we'll be getting to, hopefully sometime within today's program. It is the first of what I hope will be two major announcements coming your way this week. The second one I'm not even going to hint at. I'm not even going to give you some sort of vague, amorphous clue as to what I am speaking about. Because as soon as I say it, it's not going to happen. As soon as I say it, it's going to be jinxed and it's going to implode. But later on today, sport fight news, I believe. Coming up in today's program, we're going to have stories featuring the following words and descriptive terms. Oily, armrest, writhing, nunchucks, no arms, cow, assault, Star Jones. Also, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to be here later to talk about the retirement of Andy Card from the White House. Gary,
the retirement is sexy.
Yes. Yes. Everything is sexy when Lisa Goddard talks about it. The second hour of the program, we'll talk to, not Gary Baumgartner, but Jim Roop. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to join us from Los Angeles. Apparently, youths were rioting in the streets. Apparently, it was anarchy and chaos.
In Paris, here.
Or as my friend Scott used to call it, anarchy and chose. Scott was 35 years old and had never heard the word chaos pronounced out loud. It was one of those things he'd only seen on the page. To him, it was chose. Chose constantly. Chose in the streets of London. Chose in the Democratic Convention of 68. He also called girls Penelope. Scott was not tremendously bright. Jim Roop's going to talk about apparently a bunch of young ruffians, instead of being in school and learning how to have a fruitful life, were out there breaking things and setting fire to stuff in Los Angeles. Here, in America, can you imagine? He'll be talking about that, and I guess something's happened with Robert Blake. It's just another excuse to make jokes about him working on a cow ranch. It doesn't really matter to me. We'll also be doing today's top five. Top five bands that were ruined by a ballad. Today, top five bands that were ruined by a ballad. I got to tell you, this is actually the first fruits of the MySpace tree that I planted last night. I went because we tried to do this whole thing last week, where I gave the top five. I said, fill in the following top five. It was top five blandest artists. But it's like, I just got hundreds and hundreds. And it's not about how great I am. It's just how many people are on MySpace. I had to get all these responses. And there was just no way to sort of aggregate them or collate them. It was impossible. I just didn't care enough. I frequently don't. And so I just said, screw it. And so I took it a different direction last night. I put up a posting on MySpace and I said, look, we're looking for new ideas for the top five. That you can submit a fully formed list if you like, but it's subject to revision and or mockery and scorn. Or you can just give us an idea for a top five you'd never heard done, something you think we ought to do. And so today we're going to do that. This one, I think this came to us from Jeff. I think it was Jeff in the coup. Top five ballads that ruined a band. So we'll count those down later on today. Your phone calls and all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah X. Dillon here, as always. How are you?
Oh, I've had better days. I'm doing okay, though.
See, you can't say that.
I know why.
Because now you say that, now everybody in the audience is going to feel, they're going to feel like they don't know you very well because you're not sharing the problem with them.
I know. Well, I'm having, it's just frustrating. I'm having some technical difficulties on my website.
Please stand by.
Technical difficulties on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Is that code for something?
Nope.
It isn't working.
That was convincing.
It's code for it's not working.
So
it's not working. And I was going to post something today and it's not working.
So your website is not working. Due to difficulties that are entirely technical in nature.
You want to post on mine instead?
Yes, I found some good pictures today.
All of the difficulties plaguing your website are technical.
Sure are.
There's really no other reason why your website's down at all.
Not a one.
It's an entirely technical, computer-oriented matter.
It's
absolutely
not operator error.
In no way is it related to the operator. It is entirely equipment-based.
Yes, we're in the age of technology. It does falter from time to time.
This is the website, the technology behind your website that falters from time to time. We're not talking about a person anywhere.
Nope.
Okay.
You can post on my website if you want.
Thank you, Tim.
That's the sort of community we have here at the Rick Emerson Show.
We're all friends here.
I just don't want the people to feel left out.
No, it just gets frustrating when you're feeling the creative juices flowing and you can't, you know.
I've felt that way for the past 11 months.
when I wake up
in the morning and realize there's no place to go. People don't return my phone calls, emails.
Seriously.
The bills are stacked up. Wasn't the new show supposed to start last week?
No, I would do this thing when we were unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't feel bad still talking about this. We were unemployed. Even if we just talk about this for like one-third the time we were unemployed, I got like another month. But I would, for the first few months we were unemployed, because I'm anal retentive, I keep this little spiral pad with me all the time. And so I'm out, because I used to have a Palm Pilot, but I've stepped on two in a row. Like I would leave them in my pants pocket or something, and I would get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and step, step, crunch. And so I do everything with the papyrus. I just write everything down. And so I would keep it by my side. And so I would be sitting there watching television, talking to Laura, playing the Xbox, doing whatever. And I would reach for I gotta write this down for tomorrow's show. And then the hideous black cloud of realization would sink back in. Good times. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Okay, we have some breaking news here. A Trailer Park drama is in progress as we speak. Listen up. A portion of northeast Portland has been evacuated after a deranged man threatens to ignite propane tanks in a trailer park.
That sounds like a hick watch to me.
Andy Card quits the president's cabinet. Tom Cruise will post signs reminding Katie Holmes to stay silent during the birthing process as Scientology dictates.
And also to get in the kitchen and make with the pots and pans.
Mm-hmm. And that Afghan fellow who was supposed to undergo a beheading for converting to Christianity, well, he's disappeared head in hand. He may be found days from now in the Oregon wilderness after reading Reader's Digest.
Head in hand. All right. Well, let's not delay any further, ladies and gentlemen, because you asked for it. You wanted it. Your personal savior at the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Okay, this is breaking news. A portion of northeast Portland is currently being evacuated. This after a fellow claimed to have rigged propane tanks in a trailer park to explode. Initial reports say the man is upset that his motorhome is being towed away and is threatening to ignite the tanks. So, police say a 300-foot section of Killingsworth near Northeast 62nd has been closed.
Has ever a stretch of road been more aptly named?
I know. Tenants of the trailer park and surrounding areas have been evacuated. No one has been reported injured yet.
Portland Hazmat and EDU Bomb Squad units are responding. The tales are emerging in this developing story.
I think if you're the Hazmat Squad, you just don't ever leave Northeast Portland. You just, that's probably your home base.
I mean, they'll be cleaning up ethamphetamine out there all afternoon.
It's not like it. Man, let me just tell you this. So yesterday, and we didn't have a lot of time to dwell on it, but yesterday I was just musing out loud, contrary to the popular beliefs that may have permeated some elements of the population out there. I was not asking, not looking for tips on where I could buy methamphetamine. That would be wrong. I was not looking for recipes. I was not looking for... You would not believe. Maybe you would believe.
Are you saying this because your inbox is now full of
you
them?
Would not believe how many people... Rick, here's how to make meth in five easy steps. Now, if you don't want to follow these steps, just go to the corner of 39th... You know, and it's all like right by my house, of course. I was not asking for like how you can make methamphetamine.
You could just put that into your GPS system. find that easy enough.
Right between Applebee's and Sizzler.
Mm-hmm.
I was just making the observation that I didn't know if the meth problem in Oregon and Portland was overstated, if it was exaggerated by the media, who were always looking for fast kicks and cheap thrills. That was my only question. So, what was my point? Oh, but I talked about all this meth stuff yesterday, and the guy was telling me, I got a guy who lives not too far from me, and he was talking about how he's seen the hazmat van roll through his neighborhood, which again is also my neighborhood, like 9 times in the last month. So I don't think it's all that overstated, but you know, they are, it's like I see that big black panel truck going down my street more nights than not. So I figure it's like their home base isn't going to be Tigard or something.
No.
If you just set up shop right there in the, you know, in Northeast.
Meanwhile, this is related. A group that has helped hundreds of meth addicts get clean is in danger of closing its doors. Thugs Off Drugs, both words ending in a Z, get some support from the Department of Corrections and cities and counties it operates, private donations too. It costs Thugs Off Drugs about $23,000 a month to keep all its homes open and break even. And everyone who participates in Thugs Off Drugs gets this cool T-shirt.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Thugs Off Drugs.
Thugs Off... Okay, I'm sorry. And there's no way to really phonetically... It's... I can't tell what color the shirt looks. What color the shirt is. Thugs mm-hmm. Off Drugs. Thugs. Look at that. We totally have to get some of these shirts to wear. Like, those got to be the show shirts.
We can give them away at the next listener party.
Yes. Yes, we could. This is the latest, clearly, in a long line of failed and stupid drug prevention programs, none of which work, all of which are a waste of everybody's time and
that's
money.
That's a cool T-shirt.
Only look ludicrous. Well, you know what this shirt is. This is the look, and I'm not saying to people, I'm not saying thugs should continue to do drugs.
Because not everybody gets a T-shirt.
No, that's... No, that is true. But this is the latest iteration. When I was a boy, that's a sound we had to put in this, now that we've got these hotkeys, these sound effects hotkeys, I had to do the flashback, the when I was a boy sounder. But I remember it like 90, 91, 92, the shirt of choice, and it's always made by the same people. It's like one marketing department that creates all of these shirts, and it's the same people who do radio station mascots and radio station logos, you know, because it's like every time, it's like a polar bear with sunglasses and a guitar. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he's an extreme polar bear. And it's always animals with sunglasses. And I don't know, at some point, they must go to some school or their Clyde is sending them through some online degree program where they're taught that animals in sunglasses equal hip with the kids, which is not the case. It's never been the case. It's never going to be the case. But in 91, the big drug-free shirt was, wait for it, a lot of animals clutching guitars and various other instruments with sunglasses. And that you would get this, by the way, whenever they caught you, like, beating your wife in the face. And then you would, like, instead of going to jail, you would go through some rehab program. And then you would get a shirt that you could wear that was powder blue. A powder blue shirt covered with rockin' caricatures of animals. And then it said, party with me, I'm drug free. And I have to tell you, if you really want to assure that you will never be invited to a good party again for the rest of your life, if you want to make sure that you have the dullest, most uninteresting social life,
uh-huh.
A social life that makes me... that makes me look like I'm Dorothy Parker, you gotta wear that shirt. And so it is with this.
Meanwhile, detectives investigating a homicide this morning in Gladstone. Who really gives the monkeys rear end? Let's go over to the national news here.
Good time.
White House Chief of Staff Andy Card has resigned. He will be replaced by Budget Director Joshua Bolten, who really doesn't have any experience. So what does it matter at this time?
Blah, blah, blah. I'm a Joshua Bolten fan. Blah, mm-hmm. blah.
Alarmed by Bush's declining approval ratings and unhappiness about the war in Iraq, Republicans have been urging the president to bring new advisors with fresh ideas and energy.
Yes, the advisors are the problem.
Apparently, things aren't going well in Iraq, so because of that, we're going to dig out old sound bites from the good old days of the war in Iraq.
Fantastic.
From our archive here, this is the City Desk Archive. This is a W meeting a war widow.
I told her after we prayed and teared up and laughed some that I thought her husband's sacrifice was noble and worthy.
And hilarious, apparently.
After the chuckling.
Apparently. Yes, after the giggling and guffawing. There were no weapons. It was a colossal lie.
Oh. Meanwhile, former Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger is dead. He was 88. He died of old age and served under Ronald Reagan.
He was also a felon, by the way, and a crook and a criminal who was pardoned by George Bush the first.
That's the way it goes. On to the sound bites we go here.
Listen to how flawlessly these sound bites are going to be executed.
Under bank number A, or should that be letter A? That's a behind-the-scenes thing. The full Senate begins debate today on some controversial immigration reforms. Yesterday, the Judiciary Committee approved an immigration reform measure that includes a guest worker program. And, oh, remember Trent Lott? Well, he says the Senate vote wasn't affected by protesters who demonstrated across the country this past weekend.
So I don't think those protests necessarily, but it didn't affect the schedule. Now, maybe some people were affected by it and how they voted on substantive issues. Frankly, those protests offended me.
Okay. The idea of something offending Trent Lott, what is Trent Lott even doing now?
Oh, he's trying to get the insurance company to pay for his house. They got thrown into the ocean during the twister.
But I mean,
he wasn't insured for it. He said heads will roll. They haven't rolled yet.
But
he's living in a tent. Probably a large tent.
Clutching onto his hairpiece. Mm-hmm. But what does he do?
Not very much.
I
would imagine he does something on Fox News. Isn't that where all those guys end up?
Because he got booted out. He got booted out from his position in the Senate because, you know, he was making that remark about if Strom Thurmond had won, things would be better. Everybody know their place. And is he still a governmental representative of some kind?
No.
I have no idea.
He's probably working on a book deal, I would imagine. He'll end up on Larry King in a couple of weeks.
Hanging out with Newt Gingrich. I think about Newt Gingrich a lot, actually. And
why
I know,
is that?
I don't really know the answer to that question, Tim, but I do. Newt Gingrich is one of those guys. Do you ever find yourself just sitting there at your house, and you're sitting around doing nothing, and you say to yourself, what is Ivan Dixon, who played Kinchlow on Hogan's Heroes, doing right now?
He's dead. Or do you know that for a fact?
I guess that's one less guy I have to worry about.
Okay, let's look and make sure because
he's sitting there with John Banner.
I falsely accused Roy Clark of being dead yesterday and probably hurt his feelings.
Accuse. We should call. And that this is the best part, by the way. I won't say who it was on Couple that said this, but our fine sister station.
We have a lot of friends at Couple. They all want to be on here.
Our fine sister station, Couple Country 98.7.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
I'm reading it right off the banner. No, we're looking, Ivan Dixon.
Ivan Dixon.
I-V-A-N Dixon.
He was one of the original Hogan's Heroes.
He was the Kinchlow? Kinchlow. He was the black man.
Dead or alive? Let's find out.
Does it say?
I think he's alive.
We think he's alive. Okay. There you go. Ivan Dixon from Hogan's Heroes. Alive.
He's like 75.
So he'll be dead by the end of the show probably. But we were leaving we were leaving yesterday and we were having this whole debate about whether Roy Clark, who is Buck Owens' co-star in Hee Haw, and author of many country hits, including
Yesterday When I Was Young.
Yes, and other.
I can't think of one offhand.
That's just
not that I'm a big fan.
That's really it. Anyway, so we were leaving. This is now the length of time it's taken to tell the story is now like vastly disproportionate to my interest in it or anyone's. But as we were leaving the studio, one of the guys from Couple was heard to say, it should have been Roy Clark.
Well, we won't say which one it was.
I won't say who.
No.
But someone on Couple was rooting for the death of Roy Clark. Like, in hopes that, thinking that it was wrong that Buck Owens, who was like 140, should be dead, that Roy Clark should be dead instead. So I guess if we can find Roy Clark and get his brain out and stick it into the body of Buck Owens, maybe we can right all things with this world.
Now back to this immigration story again.
The point is Ivan Dixon from Hogan's Heroes, still alive.
We'll find a dead one before the day's out.
My point, though, is that sometimes I sit around and I wonder what a guy's doing, like Ivan Dixon from Hogan Heroes and Newt Gingrich, which is how we started this whole topic. I sit around sometimes and I wonder what Newt Gingrich is doing right now. Moving on.
All right. Well, we do have a Spanish demographic here, so let's talk about the immigration story for them, because they are curious after all. El Chancellor Mexicano Luis Enrique de Villa dice que Inmigración Ciudad. Maurice Oveo tiene la información.
What sound? I'm sorry. What soundbite is this?
Number two.
Número dos.
La migración no es solo un problema de seguridad, dijo el secretario de Relaciones Exteriores Luis Ernesto Derbez, y señaló que se le debe de dar importancia a los factores económicos, culturales, étnicos, éticos y de respeto a los derechos humanos de las personas sujetas a la migración. Es preciso, dijo el canciller, no centrarnos en soluciones enfocadas exclusivamente en el ámbito de la seguridad. Derbez inauguró en el auditorio Alfonso García Robles de la Cancillería el coloquio Migración Internacional, la dimensión humana de la globalización, este lunes por la tarde. Con información desde México, reportó Mauricio.
I think it's the Rick Emerson of the Latin set there. Good God, packing a lot of syllables in there.
On the Rick Emerson show.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, we're not done with W yet. The president met this morning with his cabinet to discuss the latest developments on the war on terror. Speaking in the White House garden, surrounded by cabinet members and the chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Bush said he was briefed by military leaders on the ground in Iraq and urged his cabinet to do more to help win the war on terror.
My cabinet officials obviously have got many responsibilities in their agencies, but we talked about their need to assume additional responsibilities to make sure that we're using every element of national power to win the war on terror and to secure the peace.
Is he broadcasting from the Garden of Eden? Where the hell is he?
He's out in the White House garden.
It must be nice.
He says Iraqis are now working to form a legitimate government, which is what they don't have right now.
Pleased to hear from Zal that the Iraqis are now back at the table discussing the formation of a government, process by which they will conduct a government once the unity government is formed.
I think those are doves of peace.
And haven't they already had like three elections over there?
Yeah.
Were those just sort of test elections where they do a dry run?
Those guys get killed, so they have to replace them. So they have fresh elections.
They should have rotating elections every 6 hours. Boy, you know, that's got to be...
They have like a group of extras sitting in the green room waiting to assume power.
But it's like a Star Trek.
They don't
Trek.
Have speaking roles. They just sit at a table for photo ops.
Seriously, they're like Ensign Louie. It's just a bunch of guys on Star Trek in red shirts waiting to go down to the tentacle planet. You know, where are we going? We're going... Like, you know, everybody knows this. When you're on Star Trek, you know, it's like, where are you? We're landing at the rape planet. two to beam down to planet rape, you know, and it's like, then you know, what about this? Well, this is the planet filled with gigantic lava creatures, you know, beam that guy down. And it's, you know, it's the red shirt guy. That's who all of these guys are. We were talking yesterday about Scott McClellan, who's the White House spokesperson, the press secretary, and how that's the worst job because you don't want it, but you can't turn it down. So it is with being the president of Iraq. I mean, really, they offer you the chance to be the president of a whole country. You're going to say yes, but it's like you...
Well, give your dental.
Yeah, but it's like you know. Yeah, you're not even going to get your 401k filled out before some guy's got your head in a bag. So, well, have fun with that.
I mean, it's like a retirement plan at Circle K.
Yeah.
How long can you possibly last? One more here.
Okay.
The president is praising the military for their hard work in the war on terror.
These leaders, folks on the ground who know the condition on the ground, recognize this is hard work, but they also report on steady progress that we're making toward meeting our important goals.
I think you read two flashcards together.
All right, there you go. By the way, this just in. Buck Owens died this past weekend, Rick. Thank you.
We know that.
Thanks for that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up, do we have Lisa Goddard?
We do.
That's fantastic. What is she going to make sexy for us today? We're going to talk about immigration and Andy Card.
Yeah, she's going to make him very sexy.
That's fantastic. All right, excellent. Don't go anywhere. Coming up later on today, top five bands ruined by a ballad. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop and all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. You stay right there.
Noon is here's the anthem. Put your hands up that you shoot with, count your loot with. Push the pool stick in your new crib. Same.
It's like a bad dream.
This whole station's like one big acid trip sometimes.
Am I awake or is this?
Oh boy.
You fell asleep in the front row of a Chuckle Hut comedy club.
Can it go off the air?
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It really is. And we can't believe it ourselves. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In just a minute or two, we have an update on a trailer park standoff. That's one of the great things about living in this city, by the way. You get to utter phrases like, man who was threatening to burn down an entire trailer park because he was angry that his motorhome had been towed. Oh, and he was armed with propane and propane accessories, by the way. So we'll get to that here in a few. Later on, Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here, and we'll count down the top five bands that were ruined by a ballad. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Lisa Goddard joining us now from Washington, D.C., CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm good.
You know, I was wondering that you must sit on hold sometimes and wonder what sort of a station it is that they have you calling.
Yeah. A little bit.
All right. I'm just, you know,
I like that one. I like the stations with spunk. You guys have got, you're probably one of the two, my two favorite stations for that reason.
Wait, hold on. Who's the other one?
Oh, it's KSRO, San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, well, you know, it is.
Fun station, too. They're just like you guys.
It is hard to compete with Sudden Flair, Lisa. So, let me ask you this.
No, I don't know. That depends on what you're talking about.
Let me ask you this. Is Roy Clark from Hee Haw dead or alive, Lisa Goddard, news gatherer?
Is Roy dead or alive?
Roy Clark, co-host of Hee Haw, Roy Clark. Would you bet that Roy Clark is dead or Roy Clark alive?
Huh, I know Minnie Pearl is dead. I'm guessing that Roy Clark's alive.
Roy Clark is alive, and he turned 73 years young in next month. So if anybody should ask you for the remainder of the day, if you should be on any other radio stations and they should express any sort of an interest about the health of Roy Clark, you can tell them that he is alive and well.
You guys are the pioneers on that today. You are the one.
Well, we're just trying to keep you in the know. We're trying to provide a mainline into the news that America cares about, Lisa.
We try harder than San Antonio does.
It's true. I'm trying to sit. I bet the San Antonio station doesn't know.
You know, I'm gonna drop that on them and see what happens.
Thank you. Let me ask you this one final question, and then I swear to God we'll talk about actual news. But this is something that Sarah had wanted me to ask you about. I don't suppose that you write your own little news blurbs, the CNN Daily Report that touts what everybody's talking about. Are you aware that CNN was promoting your news segment last week as being a sexy discussion on the deficit?
You know, I actually did choose that. I was the one who, I actually really had to lobby in CNN to get that to be slugged, or as we know, the title of
right.
The story was The Deficit is Sexy, and I pushed hard for that.
Now, do they resist?
There was a pause on the other end of the phone line when I pushed that, but I really believe that, and, you know, it was one of those things, like, I really need to get people's attention to this story. Everyone thinks it's boring, and it's not. It's sexy. You know, of course, my boyfriend responded. He's like, yeah, it's about as sexy as Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, your boyfriend doesn't understand you, Lisa. He doesn't appreciate you, clearly. Your boyfriend is obviously unworthy of your fine intellect and sense of humor. I would say he doesn't know a good thing when he has it.
Rick, you're being creepy.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be creepy. Let's talk about Andy Card for a second. I don't know to what extent you guys have, gotten the whole story, to what extent that everything's been distributed out there, but Andy Card, the story is that he resigned voluntarily. That's kind of the official story, right? And is the general consensus that this is just because President Bush's approval ratings are in the dumper and they gotta have a bit of a shakeup?
Yeah, that's right. It's really the numbers are so low and he's really had such limited success in a number of fronts. They're not getting anywhere with the American public on Iraq, and that is really their core issue. A number of his core proposals have been stalled, and they're just not getting any traction on anything. And as Scott McClellan explained it today in his briefing, he said the chief of staff, Andrew Card, went to the president essentially and said, I think this is the best idea for you, this is the best idea for me. And McClellan sort of implied that is how it happened, and the president took the advice of his top counselor and accepted it.
It is sort of a double-edged sword because I know that Bob Woodward for the Washington Post talked about this a lot in Bush at War and Plan of Attack, where he talked about how Andrew Card was not the architect, that seems to be Karl Rove, but Andy Card very much, though, was one of the guiding lights. He was one of the guys that really molded and shaped the way that Bush reacted. But, of course, the downside of that is when things start to go badly, yours is often the first head on the block.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think it does make sense. You know, the captain doesn't have to go down with the ship. Maybe for the ship to survive, the captain's got to go to another ship in this case. But
right.
I think that is a bit of what's happening. And McClellan also said something interesting when asked if any of the deputy chiefs of staff, if it was safe to assume they would all stay in their place. He said, no one should make any assumptions either way about White House staff right now.
So, maybe Rumsfeld will quit making a two for Tuesday.
Seriously, man, we can start a whole space. That's gotta be unnerving, though, when they issue out a statement like that. Don't make any assumptions about any White House staff. I mean, everybody there has got to just live on the knife edge of mental collapse, wouldn't you think?
You would think they probably do already. Even in the best case scenario, a president with a 60% approval rating, it's already one of the world's most stressful jobs.
Oh.
You know, and then you hear a statement like that. McClellan said, listen, don't make any assumptions either way. But he certainly didn't give, you know, give anybody any reason to feel secure.
I mean, it's like, you know, I got to tell you this. We've been in this new studio now for about 3 weeks here at KCFD, at Johnson 970 AM here in Portland. And we have yet to hang a single, we have yet to decorate. I have yet to put a stapler on my desk, because I know that as soon as I do that, that's when the word comes down that the station goes Spanish or something. So it's, I mean, I can't even imagine what the stress is like there. Everybody the last few days, and I've talked to a few people who are sort of mystified by this. Maybe mystified isn't the right word, but it seemed like in the last week, immigration, which it's not that no one cares about it, but it wasn't really the, in the last week, immigration has become like the front page of every paper every day, and it's gone from 0 to 60 in the space of like 5 days. And is that sort of the press playing up the issue, or is there some sudden huge fire being lit under the immigration reform in this country?
You know what, you have really hit on a core issue, and something that I'm really curious about as well. I was talking to Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine just in the last hour about the immigration bill, and said, you know, listen, do you really feel like the Senate's ready for this? And she said, no, I've rarely seen such a huge bill, the Senate push into it with really not having the building blocks in place, not having taken the time to build consensus and knowledge about the bill. And she says it's incredible how quickly this is happening. I asked her why she thought that was, and she said she wasn't sure. I mentioned protests, I mentioned different things, and she said she wasn't sure in the end, but clearly something has changed since September, when immigration was almost on a back burner to some degree.
Well, I mean, it's just, immigration's been a problem for hundreds of years. It's going to continue to be a problem. No one cared about it. And it's like somebody about 4 days ago just flipped a switch somewhere, like, bam, care about immigration now. And suddenly everybody's talking about it. So
there were a couple things that happened. One was word earlier in the year, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months ago, that there were 11 million illegal aliens. I think that took a lot of people by surprise. And I think that really quantified the problem and really pushed people to act and to react to that number. And then after that, I think as part of that reaction, the House passed its bill, and I think that bill is really stringent on security. It has some tough penalties in it, and the House says this is what we need to do to combat this problem, but others say that it's a cruel bill and that it would harm a lot of people.
How can they possibly know that there are 11? That is from the Department of Made Up and Fabricated Statistics.
It's somebody with a clicker at the border.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, what in what possible universe are they capable of accurately assessing how many illegal immigrants are here? That's like accurately assessing the number of invisible rabbits currently living in my apartment.
Well, it's like anything, even these polls, you know, what's to say a poll's accurate? Well, mathematicians say, listen, trust us, this is the law of probability, and we've done this, and generally that does seem to work out, and I believe that 11 million figure comes from looking at Census Bureau numbers and then extrapolating that, if not looking at it directly. But it's interesting, that number itself I've seen grow over the last week. You know, it used to be 11 million illegal immigrants. Now, then people were saying, well, 11 or 12, because it's a little more than 11. And now you're hearing people say 12 million. Well, there's a big difference between 11 and 12 million. But yet people are throwing these figures around, you know, not really necessarily thinking about what they mean or how big they are.
I'm just going to start saying 90 million and just see if anybody calls me on it. I'm just going to start. I'm going to create a whole bureau somewhere. My whole job is just going to be to fabricate numbers that they give to people.
We're actually 5 legal U.S. citizens in the country.
There is. And who's to prove me wrong? Lisa Goddard, CNN Radio correspondent. Thank you, Lisa.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Right here. There. Okay. Now,
that was a very cerebral conversation.
Okay, now,
I thought I was listening to All Things Considered.
Did you hear the way that she said, my pleasure, at the end?
No, I think that you lost her. This is the point in your relationship when it starts to go south.
This is the jumping the shark? Why?
Oh, I could just tell. Like, you were starting to mock her with her 11 million. Well, it just was ridiculous. She might as well have said, like, gajillion billion.
It's not her figure. I mean, she's only repeating.
She was very passionate about that.
Now she's got to start quoting you to Olympia Snowe next time he sees it.
I should totally, if I can get that into print. Rick Emerson of news gathering organization KCMD claims the figure is 90 skillion.
Didn't you see Brian Lamb discussing that on C-SPAN?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Did you hear she had a little lilt to her voice when we ended the call and I said, Lisa Goddard, thank you. She saw, my pleasure. It was like a little, like an upward inflection, a little bit.
I'm calling it now.
You're saying that it's over? The bloom is off the rose?
This is the beginning of the end, because you never questioned her. I bet she doesn't like to
women
be questioned.
Women like that. No. Women like that. A man who's strong. Women like a man who will assert himself.
Women don't like to be wrong, just like men don't like to be
wrong. I didn't say she was wrong, but I did challenge her a little bit on it. Sarah, it's what's
but
called...
But tell insurance something she really couldn't Sarah, know anything more possibly
let me,
about.
He was secretly hoping, Ryan, that she'd be wrong on the Roy Clark question.
Let me, Sarah, let me tell you about a little something called keeping your pimp hand strong. Now, this is something that I don't expect you to understand, being of the fairer sex, but it's a thing that some of us have a little bit of experience with. So, just not be a question of me anymore.
You are embarrassing yourself right now.
So I was trying to do it right there. I was trying to be firm. It didn't really work with you. Firmness doesn't work with Sarah. Take that out of context. Let me see you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, it's George in Wilsonville.
Hi, George. How can I help you?
Well, Lisa Goddard, with one hand she giveth and the other hand she taketh away. Did you hear her say...
What does that even mean?
Well, for example, she says, sexy, I push for that.
I push for sexy. Is that like I break for something? Yeah, I push for
sexy. And the very
next
sentence is, my boyfriend.
I know, but you know what? It's hard to get is what we call that. That's a little bit of that's a little just, you know.
I think she planned to throw in that quote at some point today.
That's part of the game, is the, you know, talking about having a boyfriend. You know?
I hear all too often, I suppose. Oh, by the way, F. Steven.
To bleep that. All right, thank you. No, you can't say that. You can't. You can't. Maybe you can, but we're not gonna.
No. I think I've become desensitized.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you probably can say that, but. We're going to opt to not at this point. All right. Oh, by the way, I do want to note, speaking of keeping your pimp hand strong, I got these off the front desk. We were talking about our good friends at Couple. So radio stations get a lot of interesting things to give away. This here, Couple is apparently sponsoring the Thursday night screening, which I now have a pass to, for ATL. Does anybody know what ATL is?
Mm-mm.
ATL is a... How do I put this? It's a very urban film. It's a film starring a lot of people who, like Rhonda Shelby, are not blonde in any way. It seems to be Asian?
Can I see the picture?
Seems to be a black. Anyway, so it's ATL. But now look. Now I asked the guy there at the front. I said, "What's this?" And he goes, "Oh, couples giving away passes to ATL." And I said, "I swear to God, I wish I'd taped this." I asked the guy; he's one of our tech guys. I said, "What's it about?" And I swear to God, his response was, "It's about moving bricks in your hood and ducking the man."
What are bricks?
I don't know.
Oh, the drugs?
It does scream. It does scream today's kind
this,
of hit, though.
This says nothing about the movie. It just says a new American story.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are you going to do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, here's Tim Riley.
Okay, let's have an update on this trailer park drama, shall we? Police have arrested a man, say, was threatening to blow up a propane tank in his mobile home in Northeast this afternoon. The standoff peacefully ended when the man, whose name has not yet been released, surrendered to police in the 6200 block of Northeast Killingsworth. That's four blocks of Killingsworth remained closed in the area around noontime. The incident started when the police came to move the man's illegally parked trailer, much to his displeasure. The suspect, who apparently lived in the trailer, started to threaten police, telling officers that his propane tank was wired to explode. But they told him, here's an AMPM corn dog with your name on it.
You can get anybody, you just drag a $10 bill through a trailer park,
and
you can
get
anybody to leave there. You know what I mean? Yeah, just leave a trail of skull right into the cell. You know what I'm talking about? How would some idiot toothless redneck wire a propane tank to explode?
They must have internet access.
Well, of course. Where else are you going to learn how to, if it's not, and look, unless you're listening to this show, how are you going to learn how to make meth? Hold on. Now I've got the definition here for keeping your pimp hand strong. This is for Sarah, who wanted to know about that phrase.
I really didn't, but okay.
That might be featured in this movie.
I am reading the. This is now the definition that has been sent to me by a listener. Who sent this to me? By David Williams, and that does sound like a name that exudes pimpology. Keeping your pimp hand strong. When you are a pimp. And your bitches are starting to get out of control by talking back at their pimp and not earning money or stealing your money.
I'm not earning money.
You keep your pimp hand strong. Let's see. Oh, this is teaching them not to screw with you in a bad way. I'll use this in a sentence. My hoes aren't behaving nicely. So I will keep my pimp hand strong... and teach the bad hoes who is the pimp around here and who is the hoe?
Is that from Hustle and Flow?
No, it's from this guy, David Williams, who apparently is a master of pimpology.
Okay.
It is. You know, we weren't on the air for the Oscars having It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. I do regret that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
This ATL looks like a modern-day Charlie Brown cartoon with pig pen. They're all wearing shorts and a cloud of dust.
That's up.
Yes. Yes, it's a
movie about black people covered in dust. No,
look at the graphic.
It looks to be a fine. I think that's just the. Let's move. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Meanwhile, Jesus. Police in Bremerton took a 51-year-old man into custody yesterday for allegedly assaulting another man when he changed the TV channel. The Kitsap Sun reports police arrived at the
Kitsap.
Residence and found it's the brightest spot of your day, the Kitsap Sun.
Hey, my parents live in Kitsap County.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Now, is Kitsap, we've talked about it a little bit before the show, but that's not a big place. There's not a lot of people who live in Kitsap County, is
it? Well, Bremerton's a pretty big area, because there's Bremerton, there's East Bremerton, West Bremerton.
Now, what is the bad area of Bremerton?
West Bremerton.
Well, and then, we say that.
Because my parents, I start out, it goes West Bremerton, East Bremerton, then there's just Bremerton, and then Silverdale. That's kind of like bottom to top.
Silverdale sounds fancy.
Silverdale. My parents, after I graduated high school, they moved to Silverdale.
So your family lives... So Silverdale is the Lake Oswego
high school,
of them.
Yeah.
It's the Santa Barbara of Bremerton.
Well, in high school, I was in East Bremerton.
I'm sorry, were you looked down on because of that?
Yes, I lived in... yeah.
Okay.
So that is the Botox capital of Bremerton.
So there you go. So according to the Kitsap Sun, something or other happened.
Well, police arrived at the residence and found a 55-year-old victim with a cut and bruise on his head. The victim told police the suspect became angry and violent when he changed the channel on the television. As the officers took the suspect into custody, police say the victim said, quote, "You're going to pay for this," and continue to make threats as they put him in the patrol car. He's being held on $75,000 bail.
Where is anybody in Bremerton?
He was watching Nick at Night, and someone changed it to HGTV.
Where is anybody in Bremerton?
Where is Bremerton's God?
Everything in that city together probably doesn't add up to $75,000. Good Christ. All right. You know, there's certain cities... You know, I don't believe in reincarnation or whatever, but I mean, if it's true, there are certain cities where when you're coming out of that chute in the birthing room and you see, like, the sign on the wall that says Bremerton Hospital, you might as well just kill yourself. Toss yourself out of the baby warmer onto the floor. You know what I mean? I'm not talking... Well, you weren't born there, though, were you? Where were you born?
California.
Where out in California?
Oceanside, Ocean City.
Tim?
Oceanside?
I have no idea where Oceanside
is.
Oceanside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where that is. But how sad.
Yeah, you drive, and there's nothing. Then there's Oceanside. You drive and drive, and there's nothing. Then there's San Diego. Then Camp Pendleton's in the middle of it.
And then you keep driving, and then there's just bad knockoff Pokemon merchandise.
And yeah. Mexico with the X missing off the sign.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Tom Cruise's pregnant fiance, Katie Holmes, will reportedly give birth with a huge white sign reminding her to stay quiet.
To do as she's told.
The actress has allegedly agreed to deliver her baby in total silence, according to a bizarre Scientology tradition.
No, I can't. As opposed to all the really normal, non-bizarre, completely mainstream Scientology traditions.
Friends who were thought to be Scientology elders have been photographed carrying the placards through the gates of the couple's plush Los Angeles mansion. One six-foot sign reads, "Be silent and make all physical movements quiet and understandable."
I'm gonna hang those in my house now, just to try to get some order.
This is one of the rules of Scientology. It is to prevent children from turning mad.
Clearly, it didn't work with some
Tom
of their.
Cruise.
Yes, I mean I'm.
He was a convert.
Zing! All right, there you go.
Playboy founder Hugh Hefner will have an heir apparent. The New York Post Page 6 reports that Girls Gone Wild mogul Joe Francis has dreams of one day buying the magazine empire. Francis's wild videos capture the crazy antics of college girls on spring break or at Mardi Gras. Some say his company actually earned some money. More than Playboy, as a matter of fact, last year.
Well, that Girls Gone Wild, that guy, I read an interview with him. What's his name, Joe Francis?
Yeah.
He has the best life of anybody on earth. Including Hugh Hefner, because Hugh Hefner's like 140.
80.
And this guy, how old is Joe Francis?
Doesn't say.
He's like, he's my age, he's 30-something. This guy
wasn't
has...
Wasn't he the guy that got, wasn't he assaulted by...
You said assaulted with like a weird face.
No, are you talking about... Joe Francis was the one who wasn't he videotaped? Oh, okay, I can't talk about this on the air, but I'll tell you what happened to him. He had someone videotaping another guy doing something to him, and him saying,
Hold on.
Joe Francis. Somebody broke into his house and had a video camera, and they...
And he was sexually assaulted.
They violated him.
They violated him.
And they made it, and there's this, they recorded him, and he's saying, I'm Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild, and I like to...
To be violated in this way?
Yes.
Where did you hear this? This can't
this
possibly...
happened. It's a document. Yeah, he went to court. It was a case.
He was...
I'll look it up.
He was...
It's one of those MySpace legends.
Sarah's actually gesturing so that I understand exactly what the nature of the violation was. Sarah's actually using a stapler now and a cupped hand to demonstrate the nature of the violation, as though I wasn't able to puzzle it together. So
everyone needs a helping hand.
Hold it. Sometimes more than one. Everybody needs a helping fist.
Not just saying it's not all sunshine and rainbows for that guy.
Sunshine and rapings. So you're... Jesus God. So you're... Can we go 1 week on this show and not talk about a raping? So you're saying, this is Sarah's allegation, that Joe Francis...
She's looking for it right now.
The head of Girls Gone Wild. That some guys broke into his house and gave him a good what for from behind and videotaped it. And then the videotape is where, though?
It's robbery and sexual assault. That's what it was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's unpleasant. Well, what can you do? Well, anyway.
Well, the done is done.
Well, can't cry for spilt milk, I suppose. Sorry, Joe. Here come the phone calls. Oh, boy, I just look at those phones sometimes and I just wonder what evil lurks on the other side of those. What horrible disclosure is on the other side of these blinking... Maybe this is someone telling us how they can, you know, make meth while they're being violated. Anyway... So, I guess my statement about him having the best life is maybe not, technically speaking, true. Maybe that's less true than I thought it was. My point was going to be, that guy, apart from the raping, has a pretty great life. Which I guess it's true of most people, really. Anyway.
Phil Spector? He's another one.
Yeah. I don't understand this show sometimes. Well, anyway, so that guy wants to buy Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
And let's move on.
Remember the guy who was supposed to get his head chopped off?
Jesus God.
In Afghanistan.
Yeah.
For converting from Islam to Christianity.
Uh-huh.
Well, he quickly vanished today after being released from prison. I mean, where can you hide in Afghanistan?
He's not going to stand out, a big-ass white man.
He's hiding under a shrub. apparently out of fear for his wife. Life, with Muslim clerics still demanding his death. The UN said it is working to find a country willing to grant asylum to Abdul Rahman, who will,
Where is this?
Afghanistan.
Don't we have...
We liberated them.
We
gave them freedom of religion.
Is he an American?
No, he's an Afghani.
All right, but I mean, don't we have airplane... What are you, trying to find some place to put him? Aren't we all over that country? Aren't we running Afghanistan?
No. The guy who's the president runs his desk. and anything outside his office is pretty much a free-for-all. He appears on television and wishes everyone a Merry Christmas.
There is nothing to fear. All right, well, you know, whatever.
And then it's back to the bunker for the doze off for a few minutes. Things are getting better all the time. Democracy is flourishing.
Freedom is on the march.
Pass the goat leg.
I'm glad that others' suffering can be our joy. All right.
Meanwhile, Abdul Rahman must be killed, some say. Islam demands it. This is from the senior cleric.
It's a religion of peace.
The Christian foreigners occupying Afghanistan have attacked our religion. He was arrested last month after police discovered him with a Bible during a custody dispute over his two daughters. He was put on trial when everyone agreed unanimously. Yes, off with his head.
Okay, there you go. More of God's children, part of life's rich pageant. Where are we at? Do we have to break here in a minute? Well, let's do one more and then we'll break.
Bon Jovi, remember him? Recently made a visit to NBC's version of the White House playing himself. This is going to be on Sunday night's episode of The West Wing.
When did it move to Sunday? I quit watching that show when Aaron Sorkin left. How long has it been on Sunday nights?
I don't know. I just found out that show Scrubs is still on, too, as is ER.
You know, there's some of those shows that just linger and linger and linger, and it's...
Well, it's like Sunday comic strips.
Yes, it's exactly...
Blondie and...
ER is sort of the Ziggy of... ER is the Andy Cap. Of television. Well, this is the last season, though. This is the West Wing's going away after
this. The finale is scheduled for May 14th.
A finale, which no one will watch. No one.
Nobody cares.
No one anywhere. I mean, everybody good on that show has either left or been killed. John Spencer died. Aaron Sorkin left. The greatest director in the history of the world, Tommy Schlamme, he left. There's nobody left. So, you know, whatever.
So that's it.
Okay, there you go. That's where we wash our hands. That's we're moving on.
This is CBS.
Edward R. Murrow would be proud.
Okay. Let's go have a scotch at Foot Shore.
Thank you. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. Coming up later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. We also have today's top five. Top five bands ruined by a ballad. We still have yet to get to these stories. Oily, Armless, Nunchucks, Cow, Assault, Star Jones. You stay there. We'll be back after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Make the miracle, walk the miracle. United we stand.